good?
The bad.
WTF. Thinking.
Welcome back to episode 79 of The Good, The Bad, and The WTF What I Think. We have to apologize, first of all, in advance. If you came here to hear a Clerks 3 review, turn the podcast off.
Blame
now.
Kevin Smith.
Blame Kevin Smith. Basically, and blame me. I didn't do enough research on the availability of this movie before selecting it. It turns out Yeah, but we'll blame him, you know. But we will review this movie when it is more accessible to watch. I can guarantee you that.
It's a good job you stopped me, because when you sent me that message, I just put on Clerks. And in my head, I went through it and I thought, oh, there's Clerks 2. And oh, there's Clerks the animated series. And I thought, maybe I could like do a full Clerks. And then you went, no, we're not doing Clerks anymore. I went, okay, forget that idea.
Well, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's not a good enough substitute, is it? When people want to hear the review about the new one, then they end up us just talking about the ones that have already been out. People are like, oh, fuck's sake.
It's like the pre-show.
It's not good. It's just not a good substitute. It's like when you order something from, like, Tesco's or something, and then they, you know, you order chicken, and they give you, I don't know, duck in replacement. You know, it's not good. It's not a good replacement, in my opinion.
I don't know. It depends. I mean, you couldn't have too much duck, but, you know, duck is not a bad substitute. It's not chicken, but, it's not bad.
It's not bad, but it doesn't go in enough stuff. Also, do you not feel guilty eating ducks? I feel guilty eating ducks.
You don't feel guilty eating chickens?
Ah, fuck them. Fuck them. Ducks are kind of cute or something. Also, they're very much a childhood thing, aren't they? Do you remember just going to the park and like feeding the ducks? You never
exactly.
went to the park
fed
and
them
fed
up
the,
so we could eat them.
Fed the chickens, you know. Fed them bread.
We used to go to them feeding zoos, though. We used to feed the goats and the sheep. You had no problem eating lamb.
I don't really eat goats. Do you eat goat?
I drink goat's milk.
That's different, though, isn't it? Goat's milk.
Still well, they might have killed the goat after.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, yeah, you don't know how the goat was treated before it gave up its milk.
Exactly. I mean, just think about this, right? This animal's being milked, being forced to be milked. Can you imagine if they did that to humans?
Yeah, it would be fucked. It would be fucked.
It is fucked.
I would say goat's milk might be the worst decision for milk choices. I think it might be bottom.
It's the best decision.
I think it might be bottom, if I'm being completely honest.
It's the best decision.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's better for your throat. Cow's milk is not so good for you, but goat's milk is better.
Okay. It has more protein, is what I've heard.
More
protein. So that is a benefit. Just the idea of it. I just think they should call it something else. But you can't really call it
anything.
What's
the difference between cow's milk? It's still from a tit of an animal.
Yeah, that's true. All right, that's true. I personally drink oat milk and almond milk. Anyway, we're really rabbit.
Well, that's not milk, is it? I mean, you cannot just squeeze an almond. There's no milk coming out of an almond.
There is milk coming out of an almond. I don't know.
What are you drinking?
I don't know.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
But ever since I've given up, you know, like cow's milk, I don't know. I've never gone back. Let's say that much. I haven't gone back yet. I'm very invested in that.
But you're still eating cows. You're just not drinking that cow.
Just not drinking the milk. No, I don't know why. Yeah. I still eat cheese.
But I mean, when you get that juicy steak and you suffer the blood, you don't mind. But you know
it's because there's
the
no
milk is just one step.
Do you know why?
Far.
It's because there is no
cowspiracy.
There is no good replacement yet. When, like, let's be honest, when it comes to meat replacements, they're not as good as the actual meat. Like, a chicken replacement is not as good as the actual chicken. Same
sometimes.
With the rest. But milk, has been adequately replaced.
Have you accidentally ever ordered anything vegan or vegetarian? You're like surprised. You're like, this is a weirder taste than I expected, but you didn't mind it.
I have.
You wouldn't get it on purpose, but like you accidentally like, I remember the Beyond Burger and thinking, oh, what's the Beyond Burger? It obviously just means beyond meat, but I didn't know that at the time and I had it and I was like, this tastes very different from other burgers. And then I realized it had no meat in it.
There are good substitutes out there. I'm not gonna deny that. I think there are definitely good substitutes.
What I don't understand about vegetarian and vegan food is, why does it have to look like the thing that they don't want to eat? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose it's because it's a more natural progression, isn't it? It can't be too weird looking, because if you're trying to go from one to the other, it's hard to migrate over to something so different. Whereas they make it look like the thing you think you want to eat, then you can easily swap it. You can be like, right, that's chicken. So instead of having chicken, I can have that because it looks like chicken. So it can go into the thing that I would have made with chicken. Same with like mince and like, you know, beef mince and then like corn mince. It's the same sort of thing. So you can put it in a lasagna. It can't be too different, I think. I think there is a
I think it should be different. If you want to eat different food, it's very controversial to start to the episode, but I think it should be I think it should be different. Have cocktails, corn cocktail sausages, if you don't want a sausage? A sausage, we know what a sausage is, a sausage is pork. I love them corn sausage.
But they're good.
Cocktail sausages. They are good. They are really good. But what I mean is, it's weird. For me, it's just like, oh, this is something different. This is an exotic food for this week.
Yeah.
But like, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you're against eating meat, why would you eat something that looks like meat?
It's true.
That's my question. I throw it to the veggies out there in the world.
The people who are better than us, let's be honest. I think they are the better people.
I don't know if they're better than us.
I think they are.
How are they better than us?
Because they don't eat animals.
Are you just trying to like...
No. I genuinely...
Totally against them?
No, because I'm not against them. I genuinely think that... I do think one day everyone will be a vegan, but I don't think it's going to happen in a lifetime. I do think it's going to eventually become the norm. It feels something... It kind of feels outdated already. But it's because we've come so far with it. Do you know what I mean? We've come so far with like cooking and like food. Food has come so far that it's hard to get rid of meat because meat is such a big part of it. And it's so damn tasty.
I don't think you're ever going to get rid of meat. It might be in a low percentage.
I feel like in the future. Year on year, more people are switching over to being vegans and stuff. So I don't know. We'll see.
I just don't think that
more people will be brought up as well. Like as vegans, so kids will be brought up as vegans. There you go.
It should be their choice, though.
It should be their choice. But that's silly because would you say it's their choice to eat vegetables? It's good for them, isn't it? Would you not just say that this is better?
Yeah, but meat is good for you as well.
Yeah, it is. It has its benefits, of course. Yeah, of course. I eat meat. Let's be honest, but. I do think that vegans are better people.
No.
They're morally more right. They have to be.
I don't know morally more right. I mean, I don't agree with morally more right. I believe we're all good people, but some of us like to think we're better than other people. And that is included with meat eaters too.
Yeah, that is included. But... Anyway, that you had something to bring up.
I see this conversation going nowhere. Let's go with a lighter subject, which is something that is coming up to us in Christmas. I found this out and I thought, oh, this was pretty interesting. This is a movie that me and you both like. For its 30th anniversary, Disney are going to release The Muppets Christmas Carol Uncut. So they're going to give us an uncut version, which
this
I don't know how... This is new information. I don't know how much is going to be added, but there's one thing that has been said that's going to be added. If you remember the song When Love Is Gone, which is sung by Scrooge's girlfriend, Belle, that's going to be added in.
There are deleted songs, aren't there, from the original movie? So imagine there may be a couple more songs in there. That must be it. I can't imagine it being too much more. Does it say how much is... How much the running time is increased by in any way? Or was that not shared?
It doesn't share, but I don't think they would just add one song. So I think there's going to be a little bit more. Like most movies, there's always a lot more left on the cutting floor.
Mm.
So I'd be interested. It's going to be... I'm going to try and not find out too much. The only When Love Is Gone was what I found, but I didn't want to find out too much because I'd like to go into it unprepared. You know when you're so used to a film's beat and then you watch the like the a different version, like the director's cut, and you're thrown off for a minute. I had that one, Enemy of the State. But I was so used to Enemy of the State, and then they released the uncut version, and there was just like scenes of it. I was like, what's this bit? And you're like, you're thrown out of it completely. I kind of want that with Muppets Christmas Carol, because we know that movie. I mean, we play that like every year.
It's a great
movie.
And
I have a feeling this year we're going to play it. But I mean, 30 years. 30 years.
That's cool. That's pretty cool. I like that. I like that. It's not the only movie coming back to cinema. Avatar is coming back into the original, the first one. Yep. It's coming back into cinemas as well. They're going to replay that. Which is a good timing. It's good to relive it. I think I'd almost be tempted to go to, and see they? It.
Yeah. It's been like, what, 12 years, 13 years, something like that?
Yeah.
So it people need to remember it because we're getting a sequel in December.
Yeah, we are, yeah. We're finally getting one. We'll have to review that. We'll fucking have to.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be
are
interesting.
Are you going to dress up as a Na'vi?
Probably not. I don't know.
No, you're not going to put on the blue makeup?
Are you?
Do you remember that was a thing? Do you remember that was a thing when the first one came out? They had a little... It was in the Cineworld. I don't know if it was anywhere else, but in Ipswich Cineworld, they had a little area where you could put paint on. You could put like blue paint on.
Really?
And be dressed as a Na'vi to watch the movie. Yeah. It's the only movie I've ever known to do that.
I didn't know that was a thing, I'll be honest.
Don't you remember that?
I do not remember that at all. That sounds bizarre.
That's how popular that movie was back in the day.
It was very popular. It was huge. It was absolutely huge. But they didn't
It was huge, but how quickly did it fade? Like, did people really talk about it for like years and years? They haven't. But like on the year it came out, it was like the biggest thing, and then like throughout the decades. People are really pissed on it, I think. People are really pissed on how simple the story is, but I think that's kind of taken it for granted. Same with Titanic. It did the same with Titanic. It's one of the biggest movies ever. And then, like, for the subsequent years afterwards, they just piss on it.
Yeah, yeah. That's just how it is. But the thing is, with Avatar, it's because they didn't come with the second one fast enough. It's been so long. That it had kind of had time to sit. It kind of become a bit of a meme, didn't it? Because it's been so long. I don't know. That can soon change. If the second one comes out and it's amazing, it can soon change. It can soon change.
Top Gun Maverick.
There you go, exactly.
Can answer those for you as well, yeah.
Exactly. Still not seen it, but I will see it at some point.
You have to see
it. And one more movie coming out soon. It's actually not far away at all. Maybe, how many days is it now? Seven days, actually. A week. Right. Hocus Pocus 2 hits Disney Plus in a week's time, 30th of September.
Oh, yeah, we're getting close to our Halloween month.
We are getting close to Halloween month, yeah. Well, yeah, no, we're very close to Halloween month. In fact, this is the last episode in September, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is, yes.
Holy shit. So have you taken that into consideration when you pick your next movie?
I haven't. No, my first movie isn't, but my one's topical. That's what I
have to. You may have to change it.
We'll start off easy. That one will be the first and last non-Halloween.
And then we'll that makes sense. We're gonna have a month of Halloween. Right, let's get into the main event, shall we? So this week we set each other the task. That's not even a task. We kind of just.
Oh, it was a task.
It may have been a task. I don't think it was much of a task. It was quite a fun task, actually. If this was homework, I'd be very, very happy about it. We're looking at certain roles in cinema. I don't know how big you've gone. I've gone for quite big roles, but basically roles that were almost played by a different actor and for whatever reason just didn't happen. Most of the reasons are always like scheduling conflicts. I was fine.
I might have gone for a larger scale on some of mine, actually.
Yeah.
Mine are larger than you might think.
Yeah, mine are quite large as well, because I think the larger ones are the ones that are harder to imagine someone else. Actually, as I was going through some of mine, there was some I came across and went, oh, yeah, I could actually imagine that person playing that role, you know, quite well.
All of mine I can't imagine.
Yeah, the ones I picked, I cannot imagine at all. It would be a completely different movie. So we're going to go one by one. I've got 7 here, but I'll just do honourable mentions and talk in length about certain ones.
Yeah, don't do the honourable mentions. Yeah,
I'll do them at the end. I'll do them at the end.
Your honourable mentions.
Might not have any left. And we're going to discuss what these movies would be like if they played this actor. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with my softest one. But I really like the backstory of this one. This is why I kind of went for it. So we're going to go to Batman 1989. And did you know that Robin Williams was offered the role of the Joker when Jack Nicholson hesitated for the role?
I did not know that.
No. And not only that, but they offered to him, this is the idea, this is how sneaky they were. They offered the role to him because the producers wanted Nicholson to take the role, and they knew that if they gave it to Robert Williams, he would be more interested. So suddenly Nicholson was more interested and took the bait and took the role, right? But not only this, right? This pissed off Robin Williams. Not only because he was offered the Riddler in Batman Forever, which he turned down, but not only that, do you know that he refused to be in any Warner Brothers movies until they apologized? That is how pissed off he was from this whole thing. Now, him as the Riddler in Batman Forever, I can see that one works perfectly. I would have liked to have seen Robin Williams in a Tim Burton movie, especially the Joker. I think, like, it's so iconic, that Jack Nicholson performance. Like, all the Jokers fit the movies that they're in, and this Joker fits the Burton universe. And I think Williams have been more chaotic and more psychopathic, or would he have been more whimsical, more funnier? I think he would have been the former. I think he would have gone into this one and been a super creepy, kind of like he's a one-hour photo performance, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been interesting. I feel like he would have been quite good at it, actually.
I think so.
I think he would have really delved into it, because he's one of those actors who can surprise you. So I could have seen it happen, but that is a weird one. That is a good backstory behind it as well. They were pitted him. I like
a lot of mine have a backstory.
A few of mine do, and some of them are just like, what? Yeah, but what do you think would be different about the movie? Give it some pros and cons. What would be the pros? What would be the cons of having him?
The con would be no Jack Nicholson.
Okay, but he, you wouldn't know that if it never happened though. So
yeah, but I do know it. It's hard. Yeah, but any of the cons are going to be the things I know.
But we're in an alternative universe, right?
Yeah, but I mean the con would be that you wouldn't get the Nicholson performance, so you wouldn't get the lines of "he stole my balloons" or, you know, "to dance in the pale moonlight," you know. And I don't know if that was him improvising or if that was in part of the script, but, you know, them moments of that. I suppose, would the tone have changed dramatically is a con? Would it have been a little bit too comedic and light that it would fail?
Essentially.
That's another one. I think the pro is, the pro of having Robin Williams, this is another Robin Williams performance to look at and admire. To see him in a Burton movie, I don't think he's ever worked with Tim Burton from memory. Him and Michael Keaton might be a good pairing.
Yeah.
And just to see him in the clown makeup. I don't think I've ever seen him in clown makeup, but I can almost picture him in that clown makeup.
Would it have had a knock-on effect as well? Was there a certain movie he may not have done if he had played that role?
What came out in 1989?
Do you know?
1990. There was a movie called Awakenings that came out in 1990. 1989. I can't think of a movie that came out that year that he did that was a big movie?
1999. Let's have a look. So
1989.
Sorry, 1989. My bad. 1989. I mean, a pretty good movie, a pretty big movie he did in 1989 was Dead Poets Society.
Oh, Dead Poets Society. Yeah.
May not have done that movie.
No, I think he could, because he's not, even though he's like the top billing of that movie, he's not the lead, is he?
No, he's not the lead.
He's more of a supporting role in that movie. So he's probably only got, what, like, if you add up, probably 30 minutes of that movie. So yeah, he may have turned it down, though.
He may have turned it down because he may have been like actually doing these two movies the same year. Maybe I'm spending too much time on this movie and I only want to focus on this movie. You don't know. You don't know.
You never know. Movies back then, though, they had more time, didn't they, to do movies, so it didn't fire.
Yeah, very much now they're like, we have these 3 months and we've booked this location, we have to do it now, otherwise, yeah, you're right, it's a lot more stringent now, isn't it? It's because there's so many movies being made. My first one is one that the actor himself has spoke about, and it's not a new story, I think a lot of people probably know this already, was Will Smith almost playing Neo in The Matrix. Now, he's done a video on this on YouTube on explaining why he turned down The Matrix. The most interesting thing is that he was sort of like front runner. It's not like he was in line. They offered him the role and they pitched him the movie. But the reason why he turned it down was because he didn't understand the movie. He said it was a hard movie to pitch and he didn't quite get it at first. So when they were explaining to the movie to him that like everyone lived in a computer and all this stuff, he was just kind of like, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those movies that maybe if you were pitched it, you might be. It's either going to go one or two ways. Like, this could either be a disaster or a fantastic movie. But
I think I can understand why he's confused. I mean, when you watch the later sequels, you can kind of go, yeah, they are very confusing. Like this, the first one is like easy to understand. And like the Matrix universe is a very complex and convoluted universe.
It is funny. He also said he had done Independence Day the year before and he didn't want to do another Alien movie. He didn't want to be the Alien movie guy.
Then why did he do Men in Black?
Yeah, it's a very good point.
But there's no aliens in The Matrix. So yeah, but he still doesn't understand what the movie's about. He's probably still... I bet he was sitting there and watching The Matrix and he turned to his wife and said... I don't get it.
I still don't
get the movie.
They said the aliens.
Am I the alien? You're not even in the film. I'm confused.
I think it's because it's a sci-fi movie. They probably said it's sci-fi and he went, I don't want to do another sci-fi. I want to do something else.
It's just Goldblum.
This is 1999. Yeah. This is at a big point in Will Smith's career, wasn't it?
He did Wild Wild West.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, he was like a megastar. Like, I feel like...
So he turned down The Matrix to do Wild Wild West. It's like, I understand this movie. I have to wear a cowboy suit and fight a giant spider. Perfect sense. Makes sense.
It's true. That is true. I wonder if he regrets it. I think he might regret it a tiny bit just because it's such a big franchise that he could have been involved in. I don't think he would have been especially in 1999. I can't imagine him being as serious as Keanu Reeves in that role. I think Keanu Reeves really sold that role perfectly. And I think Keanu Reeves is weird enough to be that character. Do you know what I mean?
I think when you look at The Matrix, it's so 90s and it's so 90s like rock scene. Like everyone's wearing like long trench leather coats.
Yeah.
And they all kind of look like they've come out of like a Smashing Pumpkins music video. whereas I think Will Smith would kind of stand out because I think he doesn't look that kind of... He doesn't look sort of emo, gothic.
No.
Whereas the other ones are all quite emo in that movie.
That is another pretty big point as well. And one of the cons as well of him taking this role would have been, they said if he had done it because he was black, then Morpheus... wouldn't have been black because they were looking at potentially getting Val Kilmer to play the role of Morpheus instead of Lawrence Fishburne. So that's how the movie would have gone.
I don't mind two changes. I don't mind Val Kilmer, actually. That actually poked my interest. Like, Val Kilmer, that would be interesting, actually.
Val Kilmer, as yeah, he would have been Morpheus if Will Smith would have taken the role. Well, they would have offered it. They would have looked at Val. They said they were looking at Val Kilmer. That just shows that. That's just a weird bit about Hollywood, isn't it? They're like, well, if he's black, then he has to be white. But now he's white, we'll make him black.
So does that mean that Val Kilmer wouldn't have taken the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang move?
Maybe.
Because he probably would have been on too much money.
It's the butterfly effect, you know, all of these tiny little changes that can ripple effect through history. Maybe, yeah, maybe he wouldn't have fucking, I don't know. Well, he did, to be fair, that's that year. What year did that come out? That didn't come out that year anyway, did it? Kiss Kiss Bang Bang came out in 2005.
5 years. Yeah, but I'm thinking like he's going to also do the sequels at this point.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So he's going to, I mean, let's say it got more successful because Will Smith's in them. You know, they could have generated more. Because at that time, anything Will Smith was in made money. So naturally, he would have made money. Would he have taken Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Because I'm guessing the pay wouldn't have, they wouldn't have been able to afford him. He might have still taken it, but I'm just thinking if, like, the knock-on effect of could they have afforded Val Kilmer?
It's so the same with, like, could you imagine
Lawrence Fishburne in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Yeah, that's what I want to see.
I could have. Could you also imagine Will Smith would have had to do The Matrix and Men in Black? And a lot of his time would have been taken up by those two movies.
They wouldn't have done Men in Black 2 then, would they? Cause,
do you not think?
Well, they did the Matrix movies in 2003, 2004. They're back to back, so they made them in 2002, weren't they? So his scheduling, he probably wouldn't have made Men in Black 2.
There you go.
So
that is interesting.
Continues.
Or maybe he would have. He may have rejected Matrix.
He wouldn't have done Shark's Tower. Let's be honest. We all wish that never happened.
Yeah, that's almost guaranteed. I think that's an interesting one. Will Smith in that role. What's your second?
Mine is out there. This next one. So I started to go to big movies because, like you said, like you have to imagine big movies. Because like if you went, oh, could you believe that so-and-so didn't star in A Serious Man? People were like, I've never seen A Serious Man. So I thought like a big movie. And so there was an interview once that James Cameron said that he wanted to make Jurassic Park.
Oh, you've gone director? That is interesting.
I've not just gone director. I've gone director and a few people that he would have cast. And I want to see if you can fill out the rest of his cast because he's gone with Cameron regular. So to play Dr. Grant was Arnold Schwarzenegger. He wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger to play Dr. Grant, which is very, very different. That's a very different movie entirely. Who do you reckon he would cast as Malcolm? And I don't mind who would have been Malcolm, by the way.
Instead of Goldblum. Jeez. That's a hard one to fill. I'm trying to think at that point. It's hard to put myself in 1993 because that was when I was born. So I can't really picture who else is around at that time, at that similar stage in their career. You're going to have to give me a hint, yeah.
Game over, man. Game over.
Game over, man. Game over.
Who's that? God, there's so many people shouting right now. Who that is. Bill Paxton.
Oh. Okay. Can I imagine him in that?
And
role?
Definitely not. As Hammond. As who do you reckon was Hammond? He wanted to be Hammond. Now this one wasn't a Jim Cameron regular.
Instead of Richard Attenborough.
Think American because we've gone American.
Don't give me any clues on this one. I think I've got it. The only reasonable,
if you've got
replacement,
it, you've basically Googled it. If you got it,
I haven't Googled this. I'll be honest. The only other person I would have gone for in that similar position, maybe James Earl Jones.
No. Charlton Heston.
All right.
Which is a weird one, isn't it, Charlton Heston?
Yeah.
But it kind of makes it, because in the original book, he was more of an evil character. So maybe that's where he's gone for it. But let's fill in the blanks here, because we've got blanks here, and we've got to think of, like, Jim Cameron regulars. So you got Ellie, who was Laura Dern's character. I mean, what we think of, that's got to be Linda Hamilton, right? It can't be anyone else but Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, it's very, very Cameron to get Linda Hamilton. Yeah.
Yeah. Muldoon, Bob Beck, that was the one that knew all the Raptor stuff.
Can't think. Who have you got?
Oh, it had to be Michael Biehn. Reese. I mean, Michael Biehn's in all of his movies. I can imagine it. Gennaro, the lawyer. I've got an idea who I think Gennaro would be.
Go on.
That would be Earl Bowen, who played Dr. Silverman in the Terminator movies. You know, the guy that works at the mental institution that Linda Hamilton's at.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Baldish
yeah.
guy. He would play that role, I can imagine. And one more. Let's put one. I mean, Tim. Who's going to play Tim?
You've got an idea. Go on, you've got an idea.
It's going to be Eddie Furlong. I think, like, I mean, most of the cast is Terminator 2 at the moment, granted. But I can see that is Jim Cameron's. That's Jim Cameron's world. And also, the effects would have been interesting as well.
Yeah. That is interesting. I didn't actually explore directors, I'll be honest. I haven't got any. I've only gone actors.
I got a few directors when I heard them like talk about stuff. And I thought Jim Cameron doing Jurassic Park was something I'd never heard of, something I'd never expect. That I was that almost like, especially when I heard who he kind of was considering for the cast, like Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie. That's such a difference from Sam Neill. That is drastically different. Like, instead of, like, running from the raptors, he's going to be fighting them. I mean, you've seen a razor. He fights crocodiles in that movie. He's going to be fighting raptors in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'd watch that movie still.
I don't think it would have the longevity of something like the original, but I think it would have a fun factor about it.
It might not be as, kid-friendly as maybe the... Yeah,
I just imagine like Arnold Schwarzenegger looking at the raptor going, "You ugly motherfucker.
It's time to die."
I'll be back.
My second one is, to be fair, this is interesting for a number of reasons, this next one. So before Tom Hanks was due to play Forrest Gump, there was another man who was up for the role, and he was leading the way. And he was the first choice for the role. And I can't believe he was the first choice. It's John Travolta playing the role of Forrest Gump. He was This is weird. The weirder thing about it is actually the other three actors who were considered for the role. You can guess the other three actors, then...
And one of them's not Tom Hanks or John Travolta.
One of them's not Tom Hanks or John Travolta. The other three actors who were considered for this role, if you can guess... They're all household names. Yeah, all household names. If you can guess all three of them, fucking fair play. Because one of them stands out like a sore thumb.
I'm going to go Nick Cage. No, Nick Cage. Kevin Costner.
Two more guesses. One more guess. If you can secure 1 point.
Damn it, I thought those two were pretty safe. Now I feel
safe at all. Three very unlikely ones, I'm going to be honest. If you're thinking too logically, you're not going to get it.
I'll be honest, I thought Nick Cage and Kevin Costner were pretty unlikely.
but you're having a reason behind it.
Stab in the dark, I'm going to go Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington as far as Gump, I can never imagine that.
That would be brilliant though, wouldn't it?
No, the three actors that were considered were Sean Penn,
Bill Murray. He did I Am Sam like in 2001, didn't he? So that was like his comeback. Like I'll do it again. Bill Murray,
and the final one, Chevy Chase.
That would have been a different movie if Chevy Chase was in that movie.
That is kind of weird, isn't it? I can't believe that was even consideration. the knock-on effect for John Travolta taking this role, because he actually turned it down. He was first choice. He turned it down. The reason why he turned it down was to do another project where he played Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction. So,
and do you know, just to carry on with that, if he did do Forrest Gump and didn't do Vince Vega, maybe Daniel Day-Lewis would have played Vince Vega, because that was one of the few movies that he was championed to get.
There you go. That's interesting. So, and this was at a point
would have been interesting.
This was quite a crucial point in Travolta's career, isn't it, as well? Because you have to remember, I think
this was a box office dud, wasn't he?
Yeah, it came off the back of some absolute shockers. And then the Pulp Fiction one was kind of the movie that cemented him back into the fold. Yeah, that was his big comeback.
He fucked up later in life again.
he did fuck it up again. He is capable of a fuck up, but that is probably one of his. I mean, it probably is his best ever role, isn't it?
It's up there. I mean, like Blowout, and one day we'll have to do like a John Travolta ranking list, won't we? Because that is an interesting filmography right there.
Yeah, it was kind of a roller coaster year for him as well, because he also lost the Oscar nomination to Tom Hanks, didn't he, for Forrest Gump in that year. So yeah, he says he doesn't regret turning it down. He said, if I didn't do something Tom Hanks did, then I did something else that was equally interesting or fun, but I feel good about something I gave up because other careers were created. Hey, he kind of took the high ground there, like, hey, look, I made your career, yeah. Tom Hanks. All right. Well, for me, Tom, is that you?
Which is the better movie, though? Let's be honest, which is the better movie? And also, I think John Travolta in that movie might have been bad. I can't imagine him playing it the way that Tom Hanks playing. I think Tom Hanks has got a bit of an innocent face, whereas I don't know if John Travolta's got an innocent face.
I think he's better
as a hitman. I think, whereas Tom Hanks isn't.
Yeah, I think I couldn't imagine. I mean, the length of and the journey that you go on with Forrest Gump in that movie, I just couldn't imagine John Travolta in many of the scenarios that Tom Hanks's character was in. I just can't imagine. I can't picture it. Yeah, I can't. I feel like that role was almost made for Tom Hanks, but for some reason he wasn't first choice. He was actually just given.
No one else knew it.
He got it. He got it because Travolta turned it down. So it's kind of interesting, that one. I think that's quite interesting. But yeah, the ripple effect from that. Imagine that. Just couldn't imagine those two movies being different. Yeah.
Well, we're going to stay on the Quentin Tarantino conversation, because my next one. Now, Quentin Tarantino comes out often. He's very vocal about movies he would have made. But this one, he was showed heavy interest in. Do you know that in 2004, Quentin Tarantino suggested making a version of Casino Royale? He wanted to make a James Bond movie. Not only this, right? He wanted to make a Casino Royale with Pierce Brosnan still as James Bond. He and Brosnan both spoke about this proposed project. And when Brosnan wasn't rehired as Bond, Tarantino was very publicly publicly berating the producers, and he refused to do the project after that. He wanted to do that movie. But what he wanted to do an out-of-continuity universe which would have Pierce Brosnan as James Bond. It wouldn't be treated like any other Bond movies. It would be black and white. There'd be no John Barry theme. There'd be no opening credits or one-liners. It would just be a very dark film noir version set in like the Cold War era of James Bond. Now, when he was talking to Sony, again, he had a few Tarantino regulars, and let's see if we can add some more in here. So for Felix, if you remember Felix, the character Felix.
Yeah.
Who do you reckon he wanted as Felix? I mean, come on, it's like the most obvious one.
Is it? Why am I drawing a blank here?
When you think Quentin Tarantino, what actor do you think of?
Oh, when I think Quinta, I think of Samuel Jackson.
Exactly. Samuel Jackson.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, of course, yeah.
What about the Bond girl, Vespa?
Vespa? He's not going to go Uma Thurman, is he?
Yep, no, Uma Thurman. So those were his two. But let's add some more. And I mean, what the main villain? Who would we say would be the main villain? If you had to look at the catalogue of Tarantino actors, who would you put as the Mad Mikkelsen character?
That's such a good... It's played so well.
And it has to be... It can't be anything after Kill Bill Volume 2, by the way. Because, I mean, Christoph Waltz would be fantastic, but at this point in time, we did not know who Christoph Waltz was.
We didn't know Christoph Waltz was, right. Hold on, let me just... Before I give you an answer, let me just... I'm not Googling the answer, I'm just looking at people who've been in these movies.
Oh, no, there isn't any more. Like, those were the only two. But I'm just
Let's fill in these in.
I mean, we're trying to fill in. We've still got some other Casino Royale alum to add in. So we're just going with Mad Mikkelsen's character first.
I reckon let's go for Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi. I went a different way. I went Tim Roth.
I'll be honest, that was actually my second choice. Okay. But Steve Buscemi, I went for. Let's go for
it. What about M? And M doesn't have to be female, by the way.
M, Harvey Keitel.
Harvey Keitel, good one. I was going to go Michael Parks.
Okay, that's all right. That's not bad.
He likes Michael Parks.
He does like Michael Parks.
And is there any others in there? I'm just having a look at the other characters in these movies. He's not in this one. I thought he was in all of them. Maybe he isn't in this one. That's it. I mean, I suppose also, would Tarantino have a cameo? Of course he would.
Yeah, of course. But who would he be?
Mr. White.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. He would have had a cameo back then, wouldn't he? Yeah, he would. I feel like he, especially in Bond movie, I think he'd put himself in there anyway, regardless.
I mean, who played? Was there Mr. White in Reservoir Dogs? I'm trying to think. That was Harvey Keitel's character, was it? Was he Mr. White? Maybe. Now that would be a trick right there. If he didn't make Mr. White, Mr. White of Reservoir Dogs, we have to see who Mr. White was.
Go on.
It was Harvey Keitel.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, they'd have to, wouldn't they, surely? They'd have to make Mr. White Mr. White. I mean, if he didn't, that would be a faux pas on his part. But, I mean, what do you think of that Tarantino making the Bond movie? A like standoff. Still not Daniel Craig, it's still Pierce Brosnan. Which is weird.
I'm glad that didn't happen. Yeah, why Pierce Brosnan? Maybe that was the character he struggled with the most, and he went, let's just keep it the same.
I reckon he loved GoldenEye.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he did. No, I'm not sure. I'm glad that didn't happen. I'm glad that one didn't happen. Would have been a weird movie. Right, my next one. Another big movie, another movie where you probably couldn't imagine the actor being any different. Han Solo was originally offered to Al Pacino.
What's my name? Al Pacino.
It was offered to him and he turned it down.
Weird fucking...
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is weird, isn't it? It's another case of... he said he didn't understand it, so he didn't take it. He said at the time he was offered everything. He said, I remember not understanding the script when I read it. He said, I was in The Godfather. They didn't care if I was right or wrong for the role, if I could act or not. I do imagine him getting that script. You look at all the movies he's been in, and then you look at a Star Wars script, probably like, stop for me.
Especially in that 70s run, that was when you think of the 70s, that was his best run as an actor. There's so many great movies he did in that decade. I mean, Sir Alec Guinness didn't understand that movie. In fact, he went on record to say he thought the movie was terrible because he didn't understand it. But he was a constant professional and he just did it anyway. But he didn't understand it. He didn't think he was making a good movie. He just did it for the money, I suppose.
Fair play.
All right. Al Pacino was like, no, I understand what I'm reading.
I think it was probably a little bit different. Maybe because Al Pacino had all of these movies at his feet, didn't he? This was just Godfather Part 2.
Exactly.
And he's going into doing movies like Scarface in later years. There's a lot of movies coming out.
Especially that 70s run. That 70s run, his movies in the 70s were so gritty. When you think of Serpico, Godfather, Dog Day Afternoon, all of the Justice for All, they're all like gritty movies. Like if you got like Star Wars peppered in on there, he probably wouldn't have done Scarface, actually, would he, if he did those movies?
Probably not, no. No, he probably would have taken a different turn. But, I mean, he did... Is this also...
Would he have been Indiana Jones, maybe?
No. You don't know. But, I mean, if you look at... you look at his filmography, he does have a brilliant filmography, and you do go, oh, this guy selects great movies to be in, and then you get to Jack and Jill, and then you're like, oh, hold on a minute, you didn't understand Star Wars, but you understood Jack and Jill.
maybe he said, I don't understand this, and then a little Pacino went on his shoulders, like, hang on a minute there, Al, we turned down Star Wars, this could be another Star Wars, you know.
This could be the one, you don't know, and you have to play
the Star Wars
movie. You have to play yourself. I'll play myself.
Interesting question now, because I'm thinking about it. Has he ever been in a sci-fi movie? I can't think of Pacino in space. And I'm feeling that before he retires, Pacino has to go in space.
I'll be honest, I don't think he's ever been in space. Someone may be able to prove us wrong, but I'm now going through every movie, and I can't see a space movie.
I want to see him in like a space shuttle just going off and then going, hoo-ah! as he's just going into space.
No. Oh, is this a sci-fi movie? Simone in 2002. What's this movie about? I've never seen this movie. It's a satirical science fiction film.
Does he go in space?
No. Computer-generated woman. No space. But it is sci-fi.
Yeah. He only took it because Will Smith turned it down. I don't understand computers.
well, slow down, man.
I understand computers. I just don't understand space. You want to swap stories here? You take this Men in Black one, I'll take this Simone one. I don't understand these aliens.
That is funny. But you know, apparently he does love Guardians of the Galaxy, by the way, he said. He likes Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't imagine him enjoying that movie.
I just feel like it's like him basically saying, I do know what a sci-fi movie is. I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't imagine him sitting down there apart from like his grandchildren putting it on and he go like, what the fuck is this? He's like, just watch it, Papa. And then he's watching it going, it's okay. They're green and stuff, but okay. It's like Shakespeare in space. I understand it now.
This article is thrown up. I've thrown up a few little bits as well that I'm going to go through. There were other people considered, other than Harrison Ford, Jack Nicholson, Robert De Niro, Burt Reynolds, and James Caan were also considered.
Oh, terrible choices!
Yeah.
Oh, terrible choices!
Robert De Niro as Han Solo as well. Yeah, I can't imagine any of them playing Han Solo.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Just imagine that big grin. Imagine him grinning to Chewbacca. Do you know what? I would watch that one just for the Jack Nicholson grin to Chewbacca. Chewie, looks like we're on another adventure now, Chewie.
Burt Reynolds as well. And James Caan, maybe he's probably the most likely.
I'll be honest, right? All of those actors are now all linked to my next movie. So there must have been a small pool of actors, like I said, like, it has to be these five actors. Or a better actor. A better choice of actor. Let's go with the better choice, but if you can't find a better choice, you have to pick one of these from the shuffle.
Well, that's what it was about by then, wasn't it? It was all about the name. They were like, let's get the biggest name. This is going to be the biggest movie of the year. We need the biggest name. And that's kind of like how it was, wasn't it? I mean, he said it himself. They didn't care whether he could act or not. I didn't care whether he was right for the role.
Not seeing The Godfather. Like, yeah. We don't know your work, Mr. Pacino. Just do this movie. I was in The Godfather. I'm sure it's a great movie. I'm sure you had to talk about loads, but you know, just put on this monkey suit. Go.
That's what Pacino said. He said they didn't care whether I was right or wrong for the role, or if I could act or not. That is funny. While we're on the topic of James Bond from earlier, in this same article I've got here, it said that Liam Neeson turned down the role of James Bond.
Oh, I was so hoping you were going to say Al Pacino.
Yeah. It was because, I mean, she passed away. It was his late wife, Natasha Richardson, told him that she would not marry him if he took the part, which I think is kind of strange. She said, if you play James Bond...
That's a weird thing to put in your wedding vows.
If you play James Bond, we're not getting married. He said, I had to take that on board because I did want to marry her. which is quite funny.
I bet years later she said, you know, I was joking, right? You know that I don't have a sense of humour, right? And when you tell me these things, I just accept it as fact. I'm Liam Neeson.
I couldn't imagine playing Bond either. But he tried to play Bond.
I could imagine him playing Han Solo, though.
Yeah, I think actually he makes more sense of Han Solo than any of the choices that they put forward. Anyway, yeah, that's my third one. What's your fourth?
My fourth is the one that you definitely couldn't imagine anyone playing it, considering he's made a career on this movie. Rocky, Sylvester Stallone. Obviously, Sylvester Stallone wrote Rocky. And, of course, nobody wanted to make this movie with Stallone. And Stallone had to fight hard because Stallone was... He wasn't known. He wasn't a big actor. He wasn't... You know, They couldn't get him in this... You know, they couldn't... No one would bankroll this movie because Stallone wasn't a name. So they thought no one's going to watch this movie. And at the time, you know, they offered Stallone an unprecedented $350,000 for the rights of the script. And at this time, he had $106 in the bank. He had no car and he was trying to sell his dog because he couldn't feed him. But he refused to sell the movie unless he starred in the movie. He would not sell this movie unless he was the main star. They agreed on the condition that he worked as the writer without a fee. So most of his work was as an actor for Scowl. When they purchased the rights to the film, they took it to the UA United Artists, and they wanted $2 million, but they wanted a known actor. So the known actors they wanted were Robert Redford, Ryan O'Neill, Burt Reynolds, Nick Nolte, or James Caan.
Okay, James Caan again comes up.
James Caan and Burt Reynolds.
And Burt Reynolds.
They're always freaking it in there. So they got it cut. They got about $1 million. They made the movie for $1 million, and the producers had to mortgage their house for the last $100,000 to make it $1.1 million. That's how much the movie cost in the end, and obviously it's become a big hit. But I mean, look at those actors. None of them feel like Rocky. Like, I can't imagine. They've all starred in boxing movies, I think, most of them. I know Ryan O'Neill has. They've all kind of dabbled in these kind of movies, but none of them I could imagine, could you? And not only that, but could you imagine them in future Rocky movies? Because you can imagine, like, Creed 2. Burt Reynolds wouldn't be in it, would he? But, I mean, could you imagine any of them? That'd be very odd. But yeah, they wanted a big star, and I feel that the underdog story is told because no one knew who Stallone was.
Yeah, what makes it. He also looks like he looks better for that role. That kind of like fitted him perfectly, didn't it? That is another weird one. It's a very bizarre one.
Could you imagine? I mean, like the slurred speech, for example. I mean, that's so iconic of Stallone, especially Rocky. I can't imagine someone else, you know, doing it. And the other thing is, every actor in that movie, they're all kind of like character actors, working actors. They're not big names, so it just feels a lot more grounded. Whereas Burt Reynolds, you know, he does movies like Smokey and the Bandit, and he does quite polished films. Robert Redford was like the Brad Pitt of the 70s, wasn't he? He was like in everything. James Caan and Nick Nolte have probably got the gristle. Nick Nolte probably could have done the voice. James Caan's kind of got the gristle. Ron O'Neill's probably a bit too clean cut to be Rocky.
So yeah, I can imagine, clean cut.
I think Nick Nolte and James Caan would have been decent replacements.
James Caan, really?
Yeah, James Caan. You think of like The Godfather and The Gambler and movies like that. He's a very tough looking actor, wasn't he? He could play that boxer.
How old was he at that point as well? What were the age differences between all the actors? Because I always find that interesting.
How
old was Stallone when that movie came out?
Stallone must have been early 30s.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds must have been in his 40s. Ryan O'Neill must have been 40s. Redford might have been 40s. Caan might have been late 30s. And Nick Nolte might have been late 30s.
Yeah, maybe that can pay it. Yeah, because they are a bit older, aren't they? That can pay into it because it could be like, can he keep doing the role further down the line? And you would have to say that Stallone probably kept himself in the right sort of shape throughout his career and to revisit that role more.
Yeah, and not only that, I don't think they would have made as many Rocky movies if any of them were in the movie. I think the fact that for Stallone, Rocky was like he's fail safe. Like, any time he hit a bump in the road, he could bring out a Rocky movie. Like, he always had that in his back pocket. And he's had a lot of bumps in these roads, hasn't he? But he's always had Rocky to fall back on. And that was his franchise to hold on. That is him. That Rocky and him are so in line. When you look at the highs and lows of Rocky and the highs and lows of Stallone, they're pretty much comparable. They're quite similar, so I think it probably wouldn't have as many Rocky sequels as we did have.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's definitely a knock-on effect that would have had. Maybe the other actors may have been like, "Now I'm done with this movie now." Whereas Stallone, like, his heart's in it.
Yeah, they might have made two or three, but would they have made Rocky Balboa? And let's be honest, Creed, they probably would have had someone else play Rocky at that time. I don't think any of them would have been interested to reprise their role. So, I can see that kind of like, I'm not too sure.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be. Right, my next one is Titanic. Could you imagine Titanic without DiCaprio and Winslet? Instead, there were two other actors who were very close to play the role: Jack Dawson, Matthew McConaughey, was extremely close. And people actually said to him, "Like, why did you turn?" You know, the rumors came out about it, and they were like, "Why did he turn it down? Why did he turn it down?" He squashed the rumors instantly. He never turned the role down. He didn't get the role. He had auditioned. He was in the final stages of auditioning to the point where he was reading lines to Kate Winslet and it was all being filmed. He was at that point. But James Cameron said that he decided to go for Leonardo DiCaprio over McConaughey, mainly because of the reaction to people watching DiCaprio read the lines from the filming. And I think it was he was also 22, weren't he, when he did it? Whereas McConaughey was 27. So I think that kind of element definitely played into why DiCaprio got it over him.
He'd been a different actor, a different performance. Because, I mean, in that movie, DiCaprio is like a boy in that movie, whereas McConaughey would have been a man. And so there would have been such a contrast in the relationship and probably the response of that character.
He thought he had the role. That's how close he was. He genuinely thought he had it, and he was actually gutted they didn't get it.
I mean, does Romeo and Juliet probably have an impact in the reason as well? Because I mean, that made him a bit of a teenage heartthrob. That they probably thought to put DiCaprio in this probably will help boost his seats. Because he was a teenage heartthrob around that time.
Yeah. That was the main reason. The women's reactions to DiCaprio, more so than McConaughey. So McConaughey lost out there. You know, it was all the looks that lost in that part. But it's not only that. The actress who would have taken Kate Winslet role. Ugh, can you guess who turned it down. And this time, this actress
British
did
or American?
Turn this down. British. American, sorry, not British.
She did turn it down.
She turned the role down.
How big
down.
Was she? How big was she?
I'm trying to think how big was she back then? I don't actually remember how big she would have been. Let me just look at her roles around that time. Yeah, she was up there. I would say she was on the come up, definitely. But she was, yeah, she was at a pretty good stage when she turned
down. Alicia Silverstone?
No.
Winona Ryder?
No.
Reese Witherspoon?
No. I think she actually probably did her bigger roles after this movie, but she turned it down. Gwyneth Paltrow turned down that role of playing Rose in Titanic. She was a household name at this time when he tried to cast her.
Well, she dating Brad Pitt at the time, yeah. So.
Was she dating Brad Pitt at the time?
Yeah, she was.
1997? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because they dated during like the whole Seven thing. I think they met on Seven. So, yeah, they've been public guy here.
There you go. So, she says she doesn't know why she turned down the role. She regrets it. She does regret it.
Did she understand the story, though?
She said, hold on a minute. A boat crashes into a what? Yeah. They don't exist.
When do they go to space?
She actually says the main reason why she turned it, the main biggest regret she has to turn to her was the money, because the apparently it was, yeah, I mean, it's very honest to say the money, but fair play, mainly because of the residuals that they still get from that movie. They say like when the movie is like aired, people are still getting paid for it. Like there are people who had one line in the movie and they're still getting paid like $300 a year. Exactly. I think Reese Thompson had one line in the movie.
That was Reese Thompson.
Yeah, exactly. They had one line in the movie and still gets paid like $300 a year for that line when it gets shown.
That's a lot of cheese, isn't it?
That's not bad, is it? That's not bad.
Makes me want to do a popular movie now and just do one line. Just let me do one line. But you're not getting royalties. Damn it. I don't want to do it. Royalties.
I'm not doing it. I want one line.
Fuck the prestige.
He was... I'll tell you who he was. He was the little Irish boy in Titanic. He had one line. I want to know what his line was now. I'm trying to figure it out.
Polish your potatoes for your mum.
You can't say that. What did he say? He has one line. I need to find his fucking line in this movie. But yeah, he still gets paid. That's so weird. He gets like an extra $250. Reese was originally paid $30,000 for his role following the film's release, with the money safely placed in an account and used towards his education, car, and living expenses. That's what his mum tells him, anyway.
Yeah.
What happened to that $30,000 I got for Titanic? Where do you think you got your new toys from and the shoes on your feet? You got $30,000 to play Little Irish Boy in it. What?
I don't even remember that's Little Irish money. Boy.
That's a lot of money,
that's
isn't it?
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
That got the parents through anyway. There's no way that kid saw any of that money. I'm sorry. No. He never saw that money.
Find out. Reach out to us and say, I saw that money, you jerks.
He's not
actually
anymore.
Shine anyone's potatoes.
He works as a digital marketing director at a skiing resort in Utah.
That sounds like a cover for like mob related crimes. It does sound like he works for the mob.
Hey, you got a line in the movie. That's what you just strive towards.
Murder.
Get at least one line in a movie. That's one of the reasons why she regrets turning
it down. Is that why Billy Zane never acted again either?
Maybe. He's still getting money for his.
That's it, true.
Yeah, he probably is getting a good Titanic check. If he's still getting like $300 a year for that, which isn't a lot, but it's nice, isn't it? A nice little extra every now and then. Claire Danes also said no to Cameron. to play
Winslet. Do you know what? It's just like she was like offered everything at that point of her life. I mean, she'd come off. If they put her and DiCaprio, it's just like doing a sequel to Romeo and Juliet, but on a big boat.
Yeah, yeah.
And still, Romeo dies first.
Yeah. I mean, it says in this separate article about... he does just ruin it. It does say in this other article, which is about Gwyneth Paltrow turning down the role, it said it does mention Matthew McConaughey in this. The role almost went to Matthew McConaughey, but Winslet wasn't about to let that happen. When she landed the part of Rose, she insisted DiCaprio play Jack. So there you go. Winslet is also partly to blame for McConaughey not getting the role.
Basically, she wanted to fuck the DiCaprios, basically what she said.
It goes as far as saying she even claims that she stalked him at the Cannes Film Festival to convince him to take the part. DiCaprio was a perfect choice for the part. Titanic ended up being his best of his career. Blah, blah, blah.
Nothing like a good stalking to convince someone of something.
There you go. Well, I mean, being stalked by Kate Winslet in probably 1997 is probably not the worst thing in the world, is it? Maybe now it would be a bit weird. Who's this old lady? He's fucking looking at.
What did she want me to be in Titanic? They made that movie. You're successful. DiCaprio and you made a lot of money. Why would you do a sequel with me in it? I'm nobody.
Do you know that? If they ever make a movie about Madonna, I think that Kate Winslet should play the role as Madonna.
They are making a movie Madonna, and Madonna's directing that movie.
They're making a movie about Madonna, and Madonna's directing the movie.
Yeah, and I think she's already cast her Madonna, or has she? She's still trying to find a Madonna.
I didn't expect your reply to be, they're making a Madonna movie. Yeah, I'll be honest.
And Madonna's playing and directing that movie.
That's,
which sounds
that's
bad, does it? It does sound like it's going to be
that's his
propaganda. Is it the that person... one from Ozark?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. She's a good actress. She's a good actress, but really? Does she really want to play Madonna? Anyway, Rolf, we're going off topic there. That's crazy. Anyway, yeah, that's my one. That is my fourth.
Oh, we're going to go back on topic because, again, this is the second one related to something that you said. Going to go to American Psycho. Now, American Psycho, this movie, again, I've got like a big list of things here. Because obviously, after the novel was came out, it was optioned in 1991. And Brent Easton Ellis, who is the novelist, was set to write the script himself for director Stuart Gordon, who did Reanimator and a lot of like gruesome movies in the 80s, with Johnny Depp playing Patrick Bateman. Gordon wanted to film it in black and white and stick close to the book as possible, meaning it was guaranteed to be like a hard X, 18 rating. When that project fell through, David Cronenberg replaced Gordon with Brad Pitt set to star. This project also failed to get off the ground, and then it was given to Mary Harron, who did direct it in the end. She initially wanted a few actors, so we got a list of actors that she wanted. She wanted Billy Cudrip, who was offered the part but turned it down, Ben Chaplin, Robert Sean Leonard, Jonathan Screech, Johnny Lee Miller, and Jared Leto, who obviously was in the movie. But she did give it to Christian Bale, who obviously, as we know, did get the role in the end, even though the producers wanted Edward Norton.
Ah, yeah, I can see that.
They wanted Edward Norton, but in the end he got... However, Liongate made another offer, and they got who they really wanted, who was Leonardo DiCaprio to play Bateman. Leonardo DiCaprio was set to play Bateman, and Mary Harron told them that if they did sign her, she would leave the project, which would have meant that Oliver Stone would have become the director, and Stone would have cast John Woods as Gimble, who is William Dafoe's role, Cameron Diaz as Evelyn, which is Reese Witherspoon's role, and Elizabeth Berkeley also in the movie. However, DiCaprio had to leave the project because of The Beach. He was doing The Beach at the time. Which, do you remember how big that movie was? That was a big movie.
That was a big movie.
Well, it was like I think it didn't live up to its expectations, but it was a big movie at the time. So we could have had DiCaprio, but we could have had like so many different directors there at the time, so many different actors there. And, I mean, Bale, I mean, this is one, I think this is Bale's best performance. I think American Psycho is the best thing he's ever done. I think Mary Harron does such a great job. I can't imagine anyone else doing it. But is there any, like, when you look at that list of people there, are there any that, like, pique your interest that you've been curious about? I would have been curious about a Cronenberg Pitt setup and also a Stuart Gordon Johnny Depp setup. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Edward Norton, I think, would have done well with that role.
Mm-hmm.
I think DiCaprio actually would have done quite well with that role.
Not at that time. I think he was too young for that time.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking
it's
more.
It's 2000, yeah. If
DiCaprio
you're
would have
like,
done well like, now with that role.
Yeah, now he would. That would be like, that would basically, that would be like Wolf of Wall Street. That kind of like DiCaprio would have done. Not 2000. That I think he'd been too young.
Yeah, he would have been too young. He would have been too young. That's interesting. But yeah, it's another actor who like fully put himself into that role. But you can't imagine someone else playing them.
No, because he looks so blank, doesn't he? Christian Bale throughout the whole movie. He looks so blank and psychotic.
Yeah, he plays a sociopath really, really well.
Whereas every other actor that is on that list, probably apart from Billy Kudrup and probably Edward Norton, probably could go with a blank face.
Yeah,
I think everyone else maybe is a bit too, I don't know, I just feel like they wouldn't work for the movie.
What about Tom Cruise? Could you imagine him in that role?
Well, here's a funny thing that I learned today that's completely off topic. Tom Cruise was the inspiration for the book. Apparently, the novelist saw an interview with Tom Cruise, and he was being all charismatic and bubbly and smiley, but he could see that behind his eyes, he looked soulless, like he wasn't there. And that was the inspiration for the book. So yeah, there you go.
Do you know what? I hope that who's the guy that wrote the book? What's his name?
Brent. I had it a minute. Where is it? Brent Easton Ellis.
Okay, Brent Easton Ellis. All right. I hope that Brett Easton Ellis is his name. I hope that there isn't a time when Brett Easton Ellis is a fancy dinner party that Tom Cruise also happens to be at, and he has a few wines, and he goes, "Hey Tom, you know I need to thank you, man, because you were actually the inspiration for American Psycho." He'd be like, "What? That is not a compliment." That is not a compliment, is it? Could you imagine that? I'd be horrified if I was inspiration for that movie.
Same here, because at the time I was only 9. I mean, like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
It was like 1991. I wasn't even born then. So what the hell, man?
Man, I wasn't even born.
I wasn't even born. How did you get inspiration?
I looked into your mother's eyes and I saw that fucking sparkle and I knew she was going to give birth to someone like you. There was nothing there.
Soulless.
That sparkle was dead. Yeah. That is crazy.
Enjoy the rest of the party.
Yeah. Hey, have fun. We'll catch up.
Good to see you.
I'm gonna go grab a canapé. I'll catch you later. That's fucking mad. That is mad. My final one.
Hear him over the other side of the room go, "Yeah, Tom Cruise, yeah, it's racist."
He's only over there. Do you believe it?
I'm just jibbing with you there, old Cruzy. Yeah, he was the inspiration. Yeah, I can't believe it.
Oh, Cruzy.
I swear he was going to kill me with that buzzsaw later on. He's going to kill us later. We're all going to die. He's going to listen to Huey Louie in the news at the time.
I can imagine Tom Cruise just going, "Is that right? Yeah, is that right? Is that right?"
Cover blown. He's like, "Shit."
My final one. There's a number of actors, but the one that stands out is one that stands out. I think, to be fair, they all stand out, and it is one of those typical roles. The role of Hannibal, before it went to Anthony Hopkins, the role of Hannibal Lecter, there was a few actors in the running. Robert Duvall was in the running.
Good
Louis
choice.
Louis Gossett Jr. was in the running.
Weird choice.
Gene Hackman was pretty close, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, I remember hearing
see that one. John Hurt was also there.
Yeah, I could see John Hurt doing that, yeah.
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Derek Jacobi. Jacobi. Yeah.
Derek Jacobi. Yeah, he could have been all right.
The one I love, John Lithgow.
Oh, John. He would have been good, though. Have you ever seen him in Dexter?
He'd have been, yeah, I think he'd
he was
good.
He played a really good role in Dexter, so I think it's like season 4 or something. He played the serial killer, and he was really awesome. So I can imagine he would have been a good one.
I can imagine he'd be quite good. But the two that stand out, Jack Nicholson, also in the running.
Clarice, darling, Clarice. It's me and you again, Clarice.
Would you look at this? And then finally, Robert De Niro was Robert also Niro. In the run. Why is Robert De Niro?
You're looking at
so
me, Clarice. You're looking at me. I'm watching you, Clarice. I'm watching you.
He's the one that stands out.
And
to
Will
me.
Smith, but he didn't understand it.
Will Smith goes, I don't want to be the alien guy. Yeah, right? I don't want to be the alien guy.
What bit of a computer generated? Like, no, this is something. I don't have the computer. Well, like a computer generated, like serial killer. No, this is like completely different from that. I don't understand. I'm going to have to pass.
So, what's the movie called? It's called Silence of the Lambs. I don't want to.
You can't keep lambs.
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Robert De Niro is the one we're going to focus on because apparently he regretted it. He said he spent decades wishing he'd played Hannibal Lecter. And apparently it's because he took too long mulling over the offer that it was eventually went south. It just took too long.
This is bad for podcast viewing, but I just imagine him sitting there like with that typical De Niro face going, do I take it or not? I don't know. But the thing is, I mean, he didn't do too badly because 1991 he did Cape Fear with Scorsese. That was a great performance by him.
There you go. Exactly. It
the
is.
Old big cigar laughing away in the cinema, which I can't help. Every time I think of that bit, I think it's Sideshow Bob The Simpsons where he's laughing loud and they're covered in smoke and he's saying, can you believe some people are obnoxious? And Homer's got that big cigar in his mouth. And he's going, yeah. And he said, will you say something about him? So hang on a minute, I will. And then suddenly something happens on the TV, on the cinema and he laughs out loud. And Sasha goes, oh, really? That was uncalled for. I remember that bit. That was my view of Cape Fear. That whole episode's Cape Fear, actually. Hello, oh, Mr. Yeah. Thompson.
Hello, Mr. Thompson. That is true. But along with that role... Robert De Niro has a very interesting catalogue of roles he's turned down. He dropped out of playing Josh in Big. He could have played Tom Hanks' role in Big. That's not one
weird.
I could not
that
imagine.
That would have been weird,
Yeah, I can imagine that. The Sal in Do the Right Thing.
That would have been weird as well. Because he wouldn't have been the age to have two adult boys, would he? Sal's a lot older than De Niro at that time, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Yeah. Christ, his name's gone out of my head. The actor. Good actor. I can't remember his name. Danny something.
Yeah. Frank Costello in The Departed.
I thought you meant The Sopranos for it. Frank Costello. I mean... Yeah, but I mean, have Nicholson. It was like so different to have Nicholson in that role. That was pretty.
Yeah,
awesome.
That could be a straight swap. Bill Cutting in Gangs of New York.
Do you know what I like? He turns down all these roles, but he does Rocky and Bullwinkle.
That yeah,
man's head's not in the right place sometimes. Do you know? I heard an interesting one about Gangs of New York because apparently that was going to be made in the '70s. This was like an honorable mention for me. This one. And originally it was going to have Dan Aykroyd and James Belushi, James Belushi, Jim Belushi, not James Belushi, the better one. No, that's John Belushi. So get Jim and James out of there. John Belushi. He's going to have Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. And the reason they didn't make that movie is because John Belushi passed away.
Oh, man.
But John Belushi was going to play the Daniel Day-Lewis role.
Wow.
And Dan Aykroyd was playing the DiCaprio role. What a fucking weird movie that would have been.
That is, yeah. Some movies just don't work, do they? They just don't work. There are a few. Okay, this is where it gets funny. There's some other roles he turned down. Paul Sheldon in Misery. I don't know if he turned this one down, but he was almost close to being in these ones. Willy Wonka in Tim Burton's remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That's a weird one. That one is a weird one. And that's a weird movie in itself. I mean, let alone whatever Johnny Depp's doing in that movie is pretty weird. But I mean, De Niro, that'd been even weirder.
That would have been weird. Harry Lime in Home Alone, which was obviously played by Joe Pesci in the end.
I could see him in that role, though.
Yeah, that was not too bad. But my absolute personal favourite is that he lost a chance to play Jesus in The Last Temptation of Christ. That's one I really can't imagine.
I'm watching you, God. I'm watching you. No, I can't imagine. Like, Willem Dafoe's pretty good in that movie. I mean, I find that movie a flawed movie. I'm not his biggest fan. I know a lot of people like that one, but I mean, that one itself has got weird casting anyway. It's got fucking Harvey Keitel in the movie. It's got fucking David Bowie in the movie. It's a weird hosh-posh of actors in that movie. That if De Niro was in it, I'd be like, okay. You know, it's pretty weird, that movie's. Scorsese was doing something completely different with that movie.
Yeah, that's the only one that kind of it's so believable that he could have played Jesus because Scorsese was director.
Yeah.
That makes it so believable. But it is funny.
It is funny.
Because I still can't picture it. But I've realised that Robert De Niro has been linked with every movie that ever existed between the 70s and the 90s. And yeah, I need to compile a list of all the movies he could have been.
I have realised that in the alternate universe, I want Jack Nicholson to play all of these lead roles. Like every lead role, I just want Jack Nicholson to be in it. Like, hello, Clarice, Chewie, I'm big now. I'm big.
It would have been fun, wouldn't it? How fun would it have been? What honourable mentions have you got? I've got three honourable mentions.
I have none. I only went for five. You didn't tell me we had honourable mentions.
Okay. I just have some honourable mentions.
You said five only.
I won't go into detail.
Pretty explicit in the message.
Yeah, I was. I just couldn't leave these out. Hugh Jackman almost playing James Bond in Casino Royale.
Yeah,
even better if he would have.
I remember that, yeah. I was going to say, Eric Banner. Eric Banner was another one which was heavily linked.
Yeah.
I remember him on the newspaper. I remember the newspaper having Eric Banner saying, is this the new James Bond?
I actually think that Daniel Craig has caused a problem for James Bond. I think he played that role so well that it's now harder to cast a new James Bond.
They want to now make it a woman. It's so well that no man could ever live up to that role.
Yeah, they may as well just start it again, get a new character. John Lithgow almost played the Joker in Tim Burton's Batman. I could see that one.
Yeah.
I could see that one. And finally, which may not seem weird at the time if you put yourself into the year, but it would definitely seem weird now looking back. Johnny Depp playing Ferris in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, because wasn't that around the time he was doing
21 Jump Street?
Just 21 Jump Street, yeah, and especially like the hair he had in that time. He was pretty young at that time, yeah. So yeah, I can imagine him in that role.
He probably would have taken it. Apparently, with that one, he didn't want to do it because he was trying to change the direction of his career at that time and go into more serious acting.
I mean, I could add a few other ones in there for you. Crap, his name's gone out of my head now. Kirk Douglas, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That was meant to be his project. And that's why that Michael Douglas is the producer. Because Michael Douglas won an Oscar for that movie because his dad owned the rights and he got the rights to it. And he was going to play Jack Nicholson's role, Kirk Douglas, which would have been weird because he would have been like in his 60s for that role.
Yeah, yeah. That is weird.
That's
that
a weird one.
That is a weird one. And, anyway, we got one more.
Yeah, let's. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio in Inglourious Basterds, he was originally meant to play the Christoph Waltz character.
That is interesting.
That would have been interesting for another reason, that we might have never had Christoph Waltz, and I think that would have been bad on the world.
That would have been bad on the world, yeah. Yeah, because that is such a, yeah, that's such a good actor to have.
Such an iconic performance as well. It's one of I'd say it's one of the best performances of that decade. And that decade's a really good, like, great year for
one of the most impactful as well. He made himself a household name immediately.
Oh yeah,
that's not easy to do. So yeah, big one. Right, let's move on to what we're going to watch next week.
Okay, so like we said, I'm not doing a Halloween one. Because this story broke out, and I thought, do you know what? They've been talking about this movie. Like, I've heard a lot of people talk about this movie, and I thought this might just be a good chance to watch this movie now because it's quite topical. So, let me tell you the story. So, there's a movie that's on Netflix right now. It's an Indian movie called RRR. Now, everybody is talking about this movie.
What's it called?
RRR.
Okay.
And it's an Indian movie on Netflix, 3 hours long. It's... Just listen, right? Everybody is talking about how great this movie is, right?
Okay.
So what's happened a few days ago is that you know about Best International Feature for the Oscars, don't you? So yes. Best International Feature... Every country selects one movie to represent them. And RRR has been snubbed by the Indian Selecting Committee, which has caused a bit of an uproar. So they've chosen another movie, which is called Last Film Show. They've chosen that. Now, this is now because the RRR team have kind of acted quite angrily towards this because this movie was so beloved. It's made... a lot of money. This movie's grossed It's grossed 140 million worldwide so far, this movie. And now the RR team are pushing this movie to campaign it for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay, Lead Actor, Supporting Actress, Original Song, Original Score, Cinematography, Production Design, Film Editing, Costume, Makeup, Sound, and Visual Effects. And... The fact that there's such a story behind this has made me kind of like listen out for it and go, hang on a minute, could this potentially be a Best Picture nominee? And I've heard so many good things about it. I thought, you know what, let's give it a go. I mean, we want to branch out. We always talk about branching out and going cross the pond, seeing what's out there. And why not? I think India, at least for me, I don't know for you, the Indian movie industry, I don't know a lot about. I know about Bollywood, but this isn't Bollywood, I don't believe. But I've never seen many Indian movies. And I think maybe it's a little bit of education. I've heard great things about this movie. I've heard nothing but positive things. So it's either going to live up to that or isn't.
Well, the poster is phenomenal. To start with,
yes,
it just looks epic. All right, let's give this a go. 3 hours, it's gonna have to be pretty damn good. I feel like if you're a 3 hour movie, you're really putting yourself out there because some 3 hour movies are just too long. If this is a 3 hour, this is a 3 hour movie that holds up, then
it's
we're in for a treat.
Split it if you need to.
I probably will.
Let's talk. I mean, it's sitting about 8.0 on IMDb at the moment.
It's pretty good.
Isn't too bad. So it's a fictitious story about two legendary revolutionaries and their journey away from home before they start fighting for their country in the 1920s. So there's a lot of colonialism in this movie. Let's see what it does. I've heard great things. It could potentially be nominated, maybe win a few Oscars, maybe not be nominated at all, but let's...
Well, you know what? The snub is only going to intensify the campaign to get it into the Oscars, isn't it? So it could be the best thing that's ever happened to it, that snub.
It normally does. Normally snubs, like, they echo a little bit, and maybe that'll start ringing in ears, and who knows?
They do.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And it's so accessible. It's on Netflix, so a lot of more people can watch it, whereas if it was on cinema... That's why streaming sites for a movie like this is perfect, because it's going to be hard to convince people to watch RRR in the cinemas.
Whereas, yeah, 3 hours in the cinema you're right. Yeah,
Netflix is like a little bit easier.
It will be tough. Right, this is exciting. Rotten Tomatoes is 92%. 83 on Metacritic. There is, it's good across the board. That's a good, strong entry level. We'll see.
Let's see how the good, bad, what the fuck meter does for it.
Oh, yeah. We haven't brought it out in a while, actually. No. We haven't done a good what the fuck in a while.
No.
This could be a what the fuck. When you type in RRR film to Google, do you get a horse and a motorbike going across the top of your search engine?
No.
Really?
But now I want to do it.
I typed in RRR film into Google, and then at the top there's a horse chasing a motorbike.
I did.
And then there's a motorbike chasing a horse. So that's got to have something to do with the movie. Surely? Or is that a Google thing? That's the first time that's
come up. I
don't
know, because I've typed in Terry. I don't know why I typed in Terry, but that's not come up with anything.
Okay, so it must be something to do with the movie. That's interesting.
A-A-A.
Could be a little Easter egg. Anyway, right, next week, RRR. It will get the seal of approval from us. Or seal of disapproval. Will we side with the snubbers? Or will we join the campaign to get this shit?
You can't click the horse or the motorbike. So I'm just trying to click.
No, you can't.
I was wondering if it was an Easter egg, but no, it's just a tease.
It could be something to do with the movie, but I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, we'll...
If it isn't, that's just like, it's going to disappoint me a bit, to be honest.
We'll catch you next week. We'll announce the first movie of the Halloween series as well.
Hi.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.